Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. I'm nearing the end of my third week of teaching on God Wants You Well. And I tell you, this is a powerful teaching. Every time I minister on this, I just see miracles happen because most people don't know what God really feels about healing. And I've mentioned this often, but Christians will believe God can heal, but they don't believe it's always God's will to heal, and they don't understand that they have a part to play in this. And so they're just real passive, and they cry out to the Lord for pity and beg and plead for their healing instead of taking their authority and realizing that they can make the healing power of God manifest. Boy, those are some big statements there. But this is what we've been talking about, and I tell you, I've already shared a lot of really good things. I started sharing this week about reasons why people aren't healed. And there are many reasons, more than what I'll be able to give here on this television program. And let me also say that even though I could probably come up with 100 reasons of why people don't get healed, examples that I've dealt with and seen people get healed as you change their thinking and stuff, even though I could come up with probably 100 different reasons why people aren't healed, I still don't understand all of this. There's people that I think should be healed, that as far as I can tell are believing God, and yet we don't always see manifestations of healing. But I have just come to the point to believe that it's never God who failed to heal. It's somehow or another, it's us that fails to receive. And you know, there are so many people that are just so insecure, and I'm using that word on purpose. There are people that are insecure that just can't tolerate the thought that they are missing it in any area. And for me to say that God wants them well, but the reason they aren't healed is because maybe they aren't doing something right, there's people that just get up in arms over that, and they couldn't live with themselves if they thought that they were wrong. I tell you what, that's just deception. You're just in la-la land someplace, because I can guarantee you, we all miss it in some area. It doesn't bother me. Actually, it's a blessing for me to find out that it's something I'm doing that's wrong, whether it's intentional or unintentional. It blesses me to find out I'm the problem, because if I'm the problem, I can change. But the Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if it's God that is willing that some people get healed and other people don't get healed, well, then I'm just up a creek without a paddle. I'm done for because I can't change God. It's a blessing to me to find out that I'm the problem. I'm not offended by it. Just tell me the truth. Man, praise God, I like that. And I just don't relate to people who are so insecure that they have to live in this deception that they're doing everything right. And if you were to say that there is something that they're doing wrong that might have caused them not to receive the healing power of God, they just can't handle that. Man, I just don't relate to that. You aren't going to be very effective in your life. So anyway, we've been talking about this, that there are reasons why people are not healed. And one of the big ones is that they just aren't believing God. It takes faith. Yesterday I used Mark chapter 6, Luke chapter 7. I used a number of scriptural examples that you have to believe in order to receive. That's simple, but again, there are so many people who just won't accept that. You know, the pastor of the church that I go to, he was teaching a series on healing, and he knew that I was strong in this area of healing. So he came to me, and I went out to eat with him and two other pastors of the church, and we went out to eat, and it was all cordial. We all love each other, but he was asking me what I was thinking about healing and what I consider to be some of the main things. And I told him it's a part of the atonement. It's not optional. God has done it for everybody. He wants everyone well. He said, I would never say that. And I said, why not? And he said, because some people might feel condemned because they aren't healed or because somebody they prayed for wasn't healed, and I wouldn't want them to feel any hurt or rejection or anything like that. And I just told him, I said, well, it's just the truth. And I gave him the same things that I've been teaching here on television. And he saw it, but he says, I just would never want anybody to feel that way at all. And I mean, we talked about it and just agreed to disagree. And then the next Sunday, he got up and started his series, and he read Matthew chapter 17, where the disciples couldn't heal. Let me just turn over and read this to you. But this is where the disciples tried to cast the demon out of a boy who had something like what we would call seizures. And when Jesus came down from the mountain, they came to him and asked him why they couldn't cast him out. And here's what Jesus said unto them. He said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Jesus was not pleased at their lack of being able to cast the demons out and cure this boy. Instead, he said, "You are a faithless and perverse generation." You could see that him being put out with these people and saying, "I'm not going to be here forever. I'm trying to teach you how to do these things." And he rebuked them. And he told people that it's because you aren't believing God. It's because you're faithless. And yet this pastor says, "I'd never say that to anybody." And he read five passages of Scripture in one message where Jesus said this exact same thing and rebuked people because of their unbelief and said, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works had been done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long time ago in sackcloth and ashes." And he rebuked them. And this pastor read all of these things where Jesus rebuked people for not believing, and yet then he turns around and says, "I would never do that." See, to me, that's the influence of our secular world, to where we are so touchy-feeling, we can't even say a person's fat anymore. It might offend them. They are weight-challenged, or it's in their genes. They can't control it. They can't help it. And we just don't want to say anything that's going to offend anybody. And that's wrong. I tell you what, whether you understand it or not, you do have to believe God. That's not all that there is. Faith is not the only thing. I'm going to share some other things with you, but you do have to have faith as a foundation of your belief. And you've got to be a little bit aggressive with your faith. It can't be passive. You know, over in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus was speaking and he says, "Since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached and it suffers violence and the violent take it by force." This is talking about that you've got to be violently resolved. This isn't saying that if you go out and mug somebody, rob somebody, kill them, that you're the kind that takes the kingdom. No, he's just talking about that you've got to get violent. You've got to get to where you don't take no for an answer. As long as you can live with sickness, you will. You're going to have to get to where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're going to have to stir yourself up and believe, and you're going to have to reach out and take hold on faith. You need a violent attitude. I tell you, and that's missing in a lot of people. It's totally different than people coming and saying, "Oh Lord, if it's your will, please heal me. For Jesus' sake, amen." That, you aren't going to get healed with a prayer like that. You need to be a little bit more aggressive than that. You know, I've got some good friends, Alan and Debbie Moore, who I'd like to play a video for you of Alan's healing. He had a stroke, and one-third of his brain was, and according to the MRIs, is still dead. He shouldn't be alive, and if he was alive, he should be a vegetable, and yet he's answering the phones out here in my phone center, amen, and he's healthy. But Debbie Moore has this attitude that I was talking about. She stirred herself up. She believed. She wasn't going to let her husband die. She lost one husband, I think, to cancer. I'm not sure about that, but her previous husband died, and she wasn't about to let Alan die, and she stood, and she was aggressive with her faith, and it's a great example of what I'm trying to say here. You do have to believe in order to receive. So I'd like you to watch this video and learn some things by it. I mean, the way that this testimony is, it not only gives a testimony about Alan being healed, but it shows you why he was healed and how faith was involved, primarily on Debbie's part, in Alan's healing. So watch this. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And then get the DVD where we have this testimony on it.
My husband and I have an awesome story to tell. Alan and I have been married for 18 years. He's truly the love of my life.
We love to go for walks, and that's what we do. We established from early in our marriage was going and talking and just learning to communicate with each other, being bound together in the Spirit and in the Word, you know, speaking the same, being of the same judgment, and just expectation of the goodness of God.
We have been partners and friends with Andrew for about 4 years, and we have been intently studying the Word.
We have just been going over and over again, Christian survival, the teaching by Andrew.
He has really spurred us on to know more about living in the spirit realm more than the natural realm. We have intently been listening to Andrew, listening to the teachings, getting that revelation to become our revelation.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
July 15th, 2009, we came home from work, and we work a 10-hour shift, and we work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and it was about 104 degree temperature out there in July here in Texas, and Alan had popped his head in the door over there, and he said he was going to go out and move some dirt and said he'd be fine. And I felt like the Holy Spirit really was prompting me to go outside. So I ran down the driveway to find Alan on the ground, and he wasn't answering me. So when I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not gonna leave me."
After that, she goes and calls 911. I hear the ambulance is coming. Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
And Dr. Shindori became our doctor at that time, looking over Alan, and they then announced to me that he had had a major stroke.
Stroke means loss of blood supply to the brain. I obtained MRI scan of the brain and MR angiogram of the brain. So MRI scan of the brain is something that shows the brain tissue. MR angiogram shows the blood vessels in the brain. MR angiogram showed a blockage of a major blood vessel in the right side of the brain. The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke in the right side of the brain, which controls the left side of the body.
One third of his brain had not received blood.
So that area of the brain is permanently damaged. At that point, we were not very optimistic about the outcome.
And I realized at that point, this was severe, but I was in such peace that it just never moved me.
We received a call from Debbie Moore. She didn't sound frantic or anything, but she said, "Pastor Greg, I need you to come. Alan looks like he's had a stroke."
Alan and Debbie are just vital members of our church. Everyone loves Alan and Debbie, everyone.
So my wife and I got in the car and drove over there to the hospital. Debbie just said, "Listen, I want you guys to stand with me. I lost one husband to cancer. I'm not losing this one to a stroke. He's coming out of this. I'm not gonna have an invalid, handicapped husband."
Well, Alan and Debbie both became prayer ministers about 4 years ago here at KCM. The day that Alan had his stroke, I got a call from Debbie. There was no fear in her voice at all. She was just angry at the enemy for trying to take one that she loved. And she was very clear about that he was not going to get Alan.
Debbie would periodically, when thoughts would come to her mind, it was kind of humorous because she would just say no.
She would hold her head when any bad thoughts would come, and she'd say, no.
"My husband's not going to be crippled, and I'm not going to be feeding him through a straw, and we're not going to do that." And she was just talking to her mind, basically telling her mind, "No, we're not going to do that. That's not the way it's going to be."
And I just, with her, just quote the word, "We're not going to believe that."
She and Alan both were defaulting to the Word. They didn't allow the circumstances to shape what they believed. There was a lot of reason in the natural to be concerned.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
He was paralyzed on the left side.
I'm not supposed to be able to use this left arm, this left leg.
He heard my voice, but he didn't see me.
He lost one half of sight from one eye and one half from the other.
And this is something that they said he would never recover from.
When I realized that his peripheral vision was gone, you know, it just really never dawned on me that it would stay permanent. I just opened my Bible and I said, God, I said, what is it that I need to know now? And he gave me Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And he said, Debbie, he said, you can do this carnally and bring death, or you can do this spiritually and bring life. And I drew the line right there, and I thought to myself, I'm going to do this spiritually and bring life. And I realized that all that we had put in was now all coming to benefit. It was all coming to fruit, you know, that we had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions, and I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control, and that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance, and I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free. All I had to do was stay with what I believed. I had to stay with my report, and my report trumped over their report every time.
She did not back down to the doctor's report. She heard those reports, but I heard one doctor say, "Ma'am, I don't think you're taking me seriously." She said, "Oh, I realize the seriousness of it." He said, "I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it 30 years. Her answer was, "Jesus has been healing longer."
Mrs. Morway, she didn't flinch, and she didn't seem to understand.
She was putting into practice the teaching that we'd had about harnessing your emotions. And so because she wasn't moved emotionally, they said, "This woman doesn't understand."
And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "I understand." I said, "But by the stripes of Jesus, he's been healed and made whole." And he smiled at me and kind of gave me that little nod. And I said, "You watch." On the third day, one of the nurses came into the room and she began to examine his eyes with a light. And she said, "Mr. Moore," she said, follow the light that I have. So she started off where he could see it. And every place she took that light, so went his eyes.
They'd never seen anybody in the ICU gain their eyesight back that had lost it.
We had a picture hanging up of him in his room. And the day before he had the stroke, he had come out in a magazine.
At KCM, we have the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. And I have a copy of it here, which has a picture of Alan.
And so I put that picture up there, and every time he would wake up, I'd say to him, "You look at that man. You look at how healthy he is, and that's exactly what you see."
The next day, he was moving his leg. He was moving his arm.
He grabbed my hand hard with his left arm. It was a left hand. It was a miracle.
Everything was starting to come back on him.
From then on, you could just see the strength coming back. He was doing better and better and better.
He started getting better, and he was moving the left side, you know, and speech was getting normal.
I could even notice my own speech starting to clear up. And then one day, I just got up and was going to go use the bathroom, and all the things that they'd hooked me up with just were falling off me. And
I walked into the room, and there's three big nurses standing around Alan, and they want to know how he got where he went.
I said, I don't know how you do it, but I walk.
And they said, "But Mr. Moore, you don't understand. You don't walk." And he said, "I don't."
And the ninth day, he went home basically walking.
When Alan got out of the hospital, he was out of the hospital in 9 days, and right after they got home, Debbie called me, and she said, "He's ready to come back to work." Now, Alan came back to work. We expected him to take it a little bit easy, but Alan doesn't take it easy when he's praying. He goes right after it. Alan he hasn't missed a day of work since. He's never taken it easy. He's going full bore. His prayers are strong. He's a strong man, and I know that his spirit is stronger than it ever was.
When Alan came home from the hospital, we had to actually find a primary doctor. And Dr. Jeff Alling was willing to become our primary care doctor. And Dr. Alling goes to the church that we go to at the river. And he told us that he would gladly take Alan on.
He came in to me to follow up. And just, of course, if I had seen him just on a routine. If he hadn't have told me he'd had a stroke, I certainly would have never known he'd had a stroke.
He was amazed at Alan. He was amazed at that Alan could function the way he could function. I mean, Dr. Shindori had sent him all the reports, and he had sent him the x-rays and everything, and Dr. Alan was absolutely amazed.
With major strokes like Alan had, when you've lost most of your middle cerebral artery, or most of your middle cerebral arteries been occluded, I've never seen anyone recover as well as Alan has. Most people are weak on the affected side, and drag their foot or can't use their arm, or are totally paralyzed. Even often they're totally paralyzed when they've had a stroke this significant. I've never seen anything like this.
In September, he was doing fine. He was basically totally independent. And I could not believe that somebody could get that much of improvement that quickly with that big stroke. So I thought that maybe he didn't have that much damage to the brain. Maybe early on we saw this big area, but maybe that was all, a lot of that was swelling in the brain, not actual destruction of the brain tissue. So I wanted to repeat the MRI scan and MR angiogram to see. And then the MRI scan showed basically, again, same thing, large area of basically a scar formation. There is no viable brain tissue there in the same area which we saw initially.
There's been no change between the first and second MRI, but the evidence that you have with Alan is that he's walking and talking just like a normal person who had never had a stroke.
So basically he had a massive stroke with the complete permanent damage to that area, but he made a miraculous recovery, so I don't know, I can't explain that.
We just walked out on that, hey, by his stripes we were healed. We just saw the progression, the power of God working in our lives.
Dr. Shindori showed Alan the large, massive stroke that he had had, and he said to him, all I can say is that your head does not match your body. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I don't understand anything about this. He says, but your head does not match your body.
I never saw anybody with that big stroke, with also clear-cut blockage of the blood vessel, going out of the hospital in 9 days, just walking. Never saw that in my 30 years, more than 30 years of neurology practice.
And so we just believe that 1 Peter 1:5 says that Alan's been kept by the power of God through faith. And he walks around today perfectly normal. He works a 10-hour shift 4 days a week.
Thank you for calling Kenneth Cope Ministry Prayer Line. My name is Alan, who am I praying with?
He's on the prayer line praying for people, speaking that word over them, giving them life.
In Jesus' name, amen.
He's completely healed and he's completely made whole.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work strong, and I'm going to do it in the Lord's strength. And so, praise God, we can see the results, we can see the victory, and so we'll continue to walk in that same way, knowing that God is a good God and His provision is abundant for every grace we need. Amen.
The story you saw in today's program is in the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on CD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268. But you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of March, he'll be in Pasadena and Santa Clara, California, and in Woodland Park, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days and for the grand opening celebration for the new Charis Bible College campus. In April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and again in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
The ministry of Andrew Womack and Charis Bible College provide a place where husbands and wives discover new dimensions in their relationship with God.
My life changed. My relationship with God changed dramatically.
I saw that there was more to Christianity than what I was experiencing.
You just sit and soak under that teaching, and it just begins to do that effortless change that Andrew always talks about.
Experience of victory. It's just like the way I want to live my life.
When I graduated, God was no longer locked in Scripture.
The biggest change I see is a freedom to love God and to know I'm loved.
At Charis Bible College, the Word comes alive. Relationship with God is given the highest place, and lives are transformed forever. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College, changing lives and changing the world.